Well, I think one of the ways to describe what happened here at Sunnyside last weekend was that there was a rock dropped in the pond. I think there was a big rock dropped in the pond that is Sunnyside Community Church. And we are left to consider the ripple effect. What is the ripple effect of what we have heard in recent days? I think it's important for us as believers to understand the responsibility that is ours to steward the truth of God as it comes to us. And that truth has come to us through the lives and the ministry of Doug and Margaret Nichols. And this morning, I want us simply to reflect on some of what we've heard and to consider what some of the ripple effect is for us individually, as members of this fellowship, but collectively as well. I'm going to engage in a bit of plagiarism this morning and steal Doug Nichols' outline from last Sunday morning. So if you have your Bible, you can turn with me back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 16, and the text that he drew our attention to. Doug brought to our attention four particular points: a wide door, effective service, open to me, many adversaries. And this morning, I want us to reflect on these four points, specifically as it relates to us. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Corinth, instructing them, and as he concludes his remarks, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, "But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." A wide door. There is open to me, he says, a wide door, an extensive opportunity for gospel ministry. With respect to the Apostle Paul, there was an extensive opportunity for gospel ministry, not only in the city of Ephesus, but through the city of Ephesus into the province of Asia. This extensive opportunity was really a combination of two factors, two elements. The factor or the element of where Paul was, and the factor or the element of who Paul was. As we consider the apostles' words spoken to that first generation of listeners, the extensive opportunity, the wide door of which Paul spoke, was a wide door. It was an extensive opportunity for gospel ministry, first of all, because of where Paul was. Paul was in the city of Ephesus. Ephesus is located in modern-day Turkey, western half of modern-day Turkey. It was the gateway into the Roman province of Asia. It was the seat of the government, and all of the affairs that affected the life of the people of Asia flowed through the city of Ephesus. It was the center from which the entire province was affected and could be affected. And from the ministry of the Apostle Paul and and the report that's given to us in Acts chapter 19, we understand that there was an effective ministry that went on through the Apostle Paul from the city of Ephesus. We would understand that churches in the Lycus Valley to the east of Ephesus were established through his ministry, his three-year ministry in the city of Ephesus. Churches in Laodicea and in Colossae, and in Hierapolis, cities that Paul did not personally visit himself, but who heard the gospel because it had gone out from the city of Ephesus through the travels of people coming back and forth. We can also suppose that the seven churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation were founded during this period, again, because of people traversing back and forth, coming to the city of Ephesus, hearing the gospel preached, and then carrying it back to their home cities to share it there and see churches established. Paul recognized that there was a strategic significance to the city of Ephesus with respect to gospel ministry, a wide door. But not only where Paul was, but who Paul was. Who was Paul? Well, Paul describes himself in Titus chapter 1, verse 1, as a slave of God and as an ambassador of Christ. As a slave of God, he was a man given over completely to knowing and doing the will of God. That was the responsibility of a slave. He had one responsibility, one charge, and that was to know the will of his father and or his master and to do it. He also describes himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He was one who was sent by Christ as a representative of Christ, sent in the authority of Christ, sent with the message of Christ. This was Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And as such, he was a man wholly given over to the interests and concerns of another, namely God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was such a one, so wholly given over to these gospel interests, that he would say in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, as it's recorded there, to the Ephesian elders when he met them on the sands of Miletus, after his third missionary journey, he said to them, "I do not count my life as anything to myself, but that I may finish my task with joy to preach the gospel." Paul was such a one as to be given over completely to the ministry of the gospel. Given over completely to the purpose of accomplishing the will of God, of sounding forth the truth of Christ. Given over to representing Christ as His ambassador, as His messenger. He was one to whom great insight into the mystery of Christ had been given. He says that in Ephesians chapter 3. And Paul recognized that the truth that had been entrusted to him opened up an extensive opportunity for gospel ministry, conveying to the citizens of Ephesus and to Asia the significance of the person and the work of Christ. It was this combination of where he was and who he was that brought about, that comprised this wide door of opportunity, this far-reaching ministry, this widespread ministry. Now the thing is, we may not be the Apostle Paul, and we may not be in Ephesus, but there is still for us a wide door of opportunity. When we look out on the world in which we live, when we consider where we are, when we consider what we are, there is for us a wide door for extensive gospel ministry. When we think of where we are, not only geographically, not only in terms of space, but in terms of time, there is a wide door of opportunity. We are located in a corner of the Master's vineyard from which it is possible for us to be involved reaching not only those who are around us, but those who are beyond us. We live in a nation in which we have relative freedom to move about and do gospel work. Although there certainly are limitations and we recognize that, there is still open doors. We think of the work that's going on at Vern Duncan Elementary School. Yes, there's resistance there, but there's opportunity as well. When we think of the opportunity to reach the communities around us, to go into those communities and to leaven them and to light them and to salt them with the truth of the Lord Jesus, to speak openly of our faith in Christ. There is truly a wide door of opportunity. When you think of the technological advances and the doors that open to us through those means, the access to information about what's going on in the work of missions and the needs that are out there in the world today. Tremendous opportunity to glean information about which we can pray. And situations that we can get involved in, supporting the work of missions, meetings, particular needs. Because of where we are in time and space, there is a wide door of opportunity. And we need to have our eyes open to that fact. We need to keep our eyes open to that fact. Last weekend was an opportunity for us to, as it were, lift our eyes and look out beyond our own sphere of influence. Look beyond the parameters of our own daily experience, our own sphere of interest and concern, and see far. What's the danger? What's the danger? The danger is to allow our sight once again to sift, to drift back, our eyes once again to look down so that all we can see are the steps right in front of us and lose sight of the long view of the world in which we live. We live in a day and age when we have ready opportunity to be aware and to stay aware of the world in which we live, and we need to take advantage of it. Not only where we are, but who we are. The local assembly that God has brought together to be Sunnyside Community Church. Each and every single one of you and us collectively together. Gifts and abilities, experience, know-how, all of it pointing us in a particular direction of ways in which God would have us to be involved with those around us and those beyond us. And as we've been reminded in recent days, there's lots that can be done, there's lots that must be done. But we recognize that we can't do everything. We can't travel down every path. We can't get involved in every situation. We can't contribute to every project or opportunity, but we can do something. As we look ahead and as the ripples continue to work out, some of the things that we want to look to be doing as a church is we want to be praying. As a congregation, we want to be praying for the work of missions broadly. Not only in terms of the missionaries that we support and the situations that we're directly involved with that way, but broadly in terms of the broad sweep of mission activity, praying for particular situations, praying for particular efforts, whether it's evangelism and church planning, whether it's discipleship and leadership training, whether it's Bible translation, whether it's education or medicine or disaster relief, whatever it may be, to be informed and to be involved by way of prayer. And one of the things that we're going to be looking to develop in the weeks, in the months ahead, are ways in which we can do that. Our small groups provide a tremendous opportunity to do that as a part of that small group time. But then also to have other specific times set aside simply to come together and pray for missions. Another thing that we want to do, another ripple in the pond, is we want to establish a missions committee or a missions board of some form. A body within our fellowship that will be devoted to encouraging and equipping us for participation in missions. Under the leadership of the elders, this particular body will oversee the overall outreach program of the church and will involve ultimately not just the people beyond us and efforts directed there, but also the people who are around us and become kind of an umbrella body that will have various compartments of responsibility, but we'll see to the to the outreach ministries of this congregation. Their purpose will be to equip, to educate us, to keep us informed, to bring opportunities, to bring situations before us, educating us, informing us about missions, presenting opportunities for involvement in mission projects. One of the opportunities that was presented last weekend was the Life Application Study Bible. Doug mentioned it several times. Action International and Christian Growth Ministries in the Philippines is involved in a program putting Life Application Study Bibles into the hands of pastors and Christian workers. These are Bibles that here in the States would cost you $40. In Manila, it would cost you $60. They are able to obtain them for $9. And once the postage is paid and they're in the Philippines, the cost is $16. So for $16, you can put a Life Application Study Bible in the hands of a pastor who may not have a complete copy of the Scriptures at this point, may never have owned a Bible, a study Bible of his own before. A man who has limited resources, limited training, you can, for $16, provide to him not only a Bible, but a three-hour training seminar to teach him how to use it. And so that's one of the opportunities that's available for us, to take the store that God has given to us and to participate, contributing to an effort that only eternity will tell the significance of it. I think I mentioned last week or at some point recently that I read somewhere that a single Bible has the potential to impact 30 lives. So with one $16 investment, you can potentially impact 30 lives. And how many lives will those 30 impact? And how many lives will those impact? You can see the ripple effect. There are many other similar opportunities to be involved with. And these are the things that we want to be aware of. These are the things that we want to be involved with. This body, this missions committee, will also be responsible to plan an annual fall missions conference, similar to what we did last weekend, but more extensive. And I think that just given the nature of things, the fall time is a better time to do that. Things are a little less busy. And so they'll be working for this coming fall to plan and execute a missions conference. Their responsibility will be to encourage us in our involvement with missions, directing us in such things as correspondence with our missionaries. You know, missionaries appreciate hearing from churches, getting an email, getting a letter, getting a birthday card, getting an anniversary card, and maybe a small token, a gift card to some place, or to some token of recognition that we know you're out there, we're mindful of you, we're praying for you, and we want to encourage you. Tremendous ministry. We want to support those, you know, in our fellowship who are interested in missions. It may be that God planted a seed in your heart last weekend, and we want to be there to help encourage you and help to support you as you follow the Lord in that respect. We want to be, this body will also be promoting missions and outreach within our fellowship. They will take responsibility for for overseeing our Barnabas Fund and giving direction to that. The Barnabas Fund is our faith promise offering, project that began a couple of years ago, and we want to see that in full motion once again, and so that responsibility will fall under that committee. There are other things that such a body will be responsible for and involved with, but that gives you a bit of a taste, and that's something that we want to be doing. And so I would say, if that's something that you would like to be a part of, if that is a work that you would like to participate in, then we want to have a time to come together. And I was thinking that we would start this Wednesday evening. If you are free and are able to come to the church here at 7 o'clock on Wednesday, we'll meet in my study. And You may just be, it just may be an exploratory visit. You're not necessarily ready to commit to anything, but you want to hear more. That'll be a time for you to come on this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock here at the church. Another ripple in the pond, something that we'd already talked about as elders, and we talked with Doug about it last weekend, and that is participation in sponsoring a pastor's conference in the Philippines this coming October. It was my privilege in 2006 to go to the Philippines to speak at a pastor's retreat, and we have the opportunity to do that again. And so the elders have approved a project for us to get involved in sponsoring, helping to sponsor, together with two other churches, a pastor's conference in the Philippines this coming October. I will be traveling together with Jenny, Lord willing, to speak at the conference the 13th to the 16th of October. The project involves raising $2,500 to help sponsor 125 pastors to attend this conference. That's $20 a pastor. So for $20, you can send a pastor to a four-day retreat where they will hear the Word of God, they will receive resources. The CGM, Gospel Christian Growth Ministries in the Philippines, provides a packet of books to each of the attendees that's valued at about $50. These include commentaries and Bible resources, inspirational Christian literature. And so it's an opportunity for us to encourage them. The project will also involve raising $3,000 to cover travel expenses. It's about $1,500 a ticket to fly to Manila and back again. And then $1,000 for lodging while we're there at the New Tribes Missions guest house. So that's $6,500 that is a project that we want to take on over these next few months. As I said, I would be going to be one of a team of three pastors who will be speaking at the conference, speaking 5 to 6 times in those 4 days, and just having opportunity to interact with the Filipino pastors. Doug said in our meeting last week that on average these pastors come from churches that have about 75 attendees, 75 members. So you consider the impact. Sponsoring 125 pastors encourages potentially over 10,000 believers. And the total number of pastors, if each church sponsors 125, that's 375 attending pastors. That's 28,000, over 28,000 believers. And 375 communities or villages that can be encouraged. So it's a significant opportunity for us to be involved. And so these are some of the elements of the wide door that's open to us, some of the ripples in the pond that we want to pursue. There are others. There may be other ripples that are going on in your heart and in your mind as the Lord spoke to you. But there is a wide door, the apostle says. Secondly, for effective service, for active, influential effort. The apostle Paul, in his situation there in Ephesus, could see the influential effect that this wide door, this extensive opportunity would have for the gospel in Ephesus and beyond Ephesus. And the question is, how was it effective? How was it that it was effective service? Was it effective service because of the capability, the experience, the know-how of the Apostle Paul? Well, that was certainly an instrument through which the effectiveness would come, but that was not the source of it. The source of this effective service was the power of the Spirit of God at work in the apostle. The apostle readily confessed that he labored earnestly in the work of the gospel. But it was not he who worked, but it was the power of God in him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he says as much. And also in Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. We labor earnestly according to His power that mightily works within us. The effectiveness of our service is not ultimately because of our ability, because of our ingenuity, because of our energy, although certainly we would apply any and all of these elements to the work that we're doing. The effectiveness ultimately does not rest in these things. Rather, it rests in the power of God's Spirit and in the power of God's Word, so that our confidence that the work will be effective lies in the grace of God. We might look at these opportunities that we've talked about this morning, and we might say, "Well, we're small. We're limited in our resources and in our abilities. How could we do anything? By the power of God. By the power of God. By the power of His Word. It's not us. It's Him. We must be certain that what we are applying our energies to, what we are giving our resources to, are indeed what God would have us to do. But if we are confident that that's what God would have us do, then we move forward with confidence that it will be effective, because it'll be the Spirit of God who makes it effective and not we ourselves. Thirdly, he says it's an open door, stands open for me. A wide door for effective service has opened to me. And as we heard last weekend, that's the whole issue of personal responsibility. The responsibility for extensive ministry and effective service in Ephesus was given to Paul. And we too have been given that responsibility. Responsibility for involvement, participation in the work of global missions is not reserved for those that God calls to go alone. It rests on every single one of us. If you are here this morning and you are a member of the body of Christ, if you are a believer, then that responsibility rests on you. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that it is your responsibility to pack up your bags and get on the plane and fly to some place around the globe. It may be. It does mean, however, that it is your responsibility to be aware and to be involved as you are able in the work of global missions. There is an unbroken link between Sunnyside Community Church and the work that's going on around the world. We have a role to play, to assist the work, to contribute to the work, to support the work. We are all involved. Finally, this morning, many adversaries. He says, for a wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. There were really essentially two reasons why Paul was going to stay in Ephesus, because there was a wide door opened and because there were many adversaries. There is opposition to the work of the kingdom. There is opposition to the ongoing ministry of the gospel. The Apostle Paul faced it relentlessly. It came to him from the Jews, those Judaizers who would preach law in addition to faith in Christ as necessary for salvation. It came to him in the form of pagan Gentiles, idol worshipers, particularly there in the city of Ephesus. Under the leadership of Demetrius, there was a riot that broke out in opposition to the preaching of the gospel. Ultimately, the opposition comes from spiritual forces in heavenly places, Ephesians chapter 6. There is opposition. There are many adversaries. One of the dangers of listening to interesting and accounts of missionaries and their service is it begins to sound so romantic and so attractive. The reality is that missionary life is very ordinary. It's really no different than our daily experience, only harder because of the cultural barriers, the language barriers, the unfamiliar issues. The thing is, it's challenging work, it's difficult work, it It requires sacrifice. As it was for Paul, so it will be for us. As we endeavor to fulfill our responsibility to the people around us and the people beyond us, there will be many adversaries. There will be many stumbling blocks, potentially, tripwires. The world hated Christ. The world will hate those who are Christ's. But understanding that, we recognize that as the Lord Jesus promised His disciples, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good courage. I have what? I have overcome the world. He has triumphed. And in His triumph, we triumph. And so as we move ahead as a congregation, as we carry on with the fairs as they're here, as we want to steward the opportunity that we've had to have our eyes lifted to the fields that are white unto harvest. We want to steward the Word of God as it has come to us and challenged us with respect to our own participation and involvement in the work of global missions, the work of the kingdom, of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to trace out the ripple effect of the rock that's been dropped in the pond. We want to be faithful. So we ask the Lord for wisdom in these various avenues that we've identified, that we will trace out, and to whatever other avenues, whatever other ripples He may bring to our attention. We want to be responsible. We want to be faithful. We want to fulfill the calling that is ours as Sunnyside Community Church. We take what God has given us, we see the direction that He's leading us, and we move forward with the confidence that He will make it effective. We move forward in the confidence that He has overcome, and so there will be victory. Let's pray.